The Packers enter their upcoming game against the Chicago Bears with head coach Mike McCarthy locked up for the foreseeable future, having recently signed a long-term contract extension. How does that impact the organization? We'll find out with former Packers safety Matt Bowen on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for an upcoming game against the Chicago Bears. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the line.
Expert interview.
We have Matt Bowen, former Packers safety, currently of BleacherReport.com. Matt, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks for having me on, and there is nothing better than Bears-Packers week, whether you live in Chicago, whether you live in Wisconsin. It's always good football, and I'm excited for this one. I think it's a good matchup, even though the Bears are 3-5. I still think this is a good matchup. Should be a good game Sunday night.
Well, one of the NFL's oldest rivalries. Matt, I to kick things off, I want to get your reaction to hearing that Mike McCarthy signed a contract extension and the stability it brings to the Packers organization.
Well, if I'm a player, I'm a big fan of that, okay, because you want stability. You want to come to the office, to come to the facility every week and know that your head coach is going to be there, know that you can trust in your head coach, know that if you're a young player in that system, you can be developed by the same coaching staff. That's important. Now, obviously, there's going to be coaches that get offers, and I'm talking about position coaches that leave in the future, but you want to be in the same system. I think that's crucial when you talk about the Green Bay Packers, because that's how they scout, that's how they develop talent. They do it in the same system. There's not a lot of coaching changes, not like playing out in Washington as I did it. And when I left Green Bay back in the day, where you have so much turnover, then you're starting with a new playbook, you're starting with a new voice, a new way to practice, a new way to dress in the team playing. You want stability, you want a routine. Some players want structure. And you become accustomed to a certain structure, a certain routine when you're with the same head coach. I think it's key when you have Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, when you have the young talent on the defensive side of the ball, to be in that structured system. I agree with it. I think it's a great move by Green Bay.
The other big news in the world of the Packers this week was the release of former first-round draft choice Derek Sherrod. And what I wanted to get your thoughts on, Matt, is the timing of the release. It certainly came as a surprise that the Packers parted ways with the player that they invested so much into in the middle of the season. What kind of conversations do you think took place during the bye week in Green Bay for something like that to happen?
Well, during the bye week, it gives you an opportunity to reevaluate your personnel. And there's a lot of things that go on during the bye week. You look at your game plan first. What are we doing well? What do we need to change? I've always said as a player, the best thing to do during the bye week is look at the correction tape. Where were the busts? Where were the mistakes during the first half of the season? What can you do to correct those mistakes? That's what position coaches do. What can you do as a coach to get better? Can you change up the way you practice? Can you work on specific drills? Can you eliminate some coverages in the game plan that aren't working? And then also in personnel, you start to forecast the rest of the season. Where do we need help? Do we need to make a move to make another position stronger? And you also look at the future of your team. Do we have the proper personnel? Are there some guys that are not fitting into the system? Are there some guys that we can let go? There's a lot of moves that are made during that bye week because it gives you time away from the game plan. You're not focusing on a specific team anymore. It gives you time to actually take a step back, look at your football team. What are the moves we need to make? And anytime you release a former first-round pick, it's going to draw, you know, headlines. It's a first-round pick. But you know what? Sometimes you miss, okay? You miss. And sometimes players don't develop at the expected rate you wanted them to, whether it's injury, which Sherrod had, whether it's technique, whether it's production, negative production, positive production, whatever it may be, this is the time a lot of teams make moves. I know it shocks some people because he was a first-round pick, but you got to trust the organization that they made a move to get better as a football team, not only the next eight games, but going into the next season.
We're talking to Matt Bowen, former Packer safety here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Matt, in addition to your job at Bleacher Report, you also contribute to the Chicago Tribune and 670 AM The Score in Chicago, covering the Bears heavily. So from your perspective covering the team, you know, in that first meeting between the Packers and the Bears this season, the Packers gave up the most rushing yards they have all season long. How can they stop Matt Forte in the Bears' running game?
The first thing is the tackle, okay? First thing is the tackle. Because, you know, I've already said this week, Matt Forte needs 20 to 25 carries Sunday night. Okay, the Bears need to control tempo. They need to keep the football out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. They need to take advantage of possessions. And you can't give Aaron Rodgers extra possessions in this football game. You give him two extra possessions, that's two more opportunities to score points against a below-average Bears defense. But if you're from the Packers' perspective, you have to tackle and you have to recognize formations. What Mark Trestman does, the Bears head coach, he'll use a lot of what I call window dressing. Okay, they'll disguise basic concepts. The Bears are not a power football team. They are 100% West Coast when you talk about the running game. It's zone. It's a little lead draw, but it's usually zone and trap. They'll run that inside trap. They use Kyle Long to pull and try to kick out defensive ends, defensive tackles, and create inside running lanes. I think from, you know, looking at how do the Packers limit the run game, identify the concepts, identify pre-snap movement, and tackle. You have to tackle versus Matt Forte. He's very good at making defenders miss at the second level. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NFL when you look at the number of touches he's had and the production he's had for this football team in the last year and a half under Mark Trestman. But that is the key. If you're in that Packers defensive meeting room this week, it's got to be how do we limit Matt Forte. Okay, you can cover Brandon Marshall. You can cover Alshon Jeffrey. You can force Jay Cutler into making some questionable decisions. But if you can't get off the field and you give up 200-plus yards running again, it's going to be a game in the fourth quarter saying, why are the Bears still in this football game? The reason, we can't tackle, we can't get off the field.
The Packers had a couple starters in their secondary miss the last game with injuries. I'm talking about Sam Shields and Morgan Burnett. We're kind of waiting to see if they return this week. But would the Packers be impacted by a secondary that's maybe less than 100% when facing guys like Marshall and Jeffrey?
Oh, of course. Of course. Anytime you're talking about the safety position especially, you have to have your guys up there. Okay, because what the Bears are going to do, they're not a deep ball team. They'll take a shot every once in a while down the field, but they're short to intermediate passing, okay? You need your safeties to be aggressive. You need your safeties to drive downhill in the football on the deep intermediate cuts. I'm talking inside breaking routes. If you talk about a West Coast team, that means the ball is usually thrown between the numbers and the hash marks. That's where they want the football to go. And that's perfect for the Bears because it caters to the skill set of Jeffrey and Marshall. They're not 4-4 guys. They're 4-5-5, 4-6 guys, but they're big, they're strong, they use their frame to create leverage inside against defensive backs. That's where you need your safeties to come downhill. That's where you need your safeties to drive on the football and make a play. Because we all know if you play against Jay Cutler, he's going to give you an opportunity to make a play. You know that as a defensive back going into the game, that Jay's going to give you some opportunities to make a play. And the safety got to go out and make those plays. Take some chances, take some risks, and go drive on the football.
Well, speaking of safeties, kind of one last question here before we let you go, Matt. As a former safety yourself, of course, what have been your impressions on Packers rookie Ha-Ha Clinton Dix?
I think he's getting better every time out. That's all you want to see, Brian. That's all you want to see. I think sometimes we expect too much out of rookies. I think the NFL has become, kind of a situation where you want these guys to be Pro Bowlers. And they played 8 football games. It takes a long time to transition. Playing defensive back is hard. It's extremely hard when you're a rookie. You're not used to the speed, okay? You're not used to the multiple formations, the pro route combinations. You're not used to everyone being just as good or better than you are, okay? That's reality in the NFL. Everyone can run. Everyone can jump. Everyone can catch the football, okay? But Clinton Dix, if you look at him on film, he's on the arrow's pointing up. And what I mean by that, Brian, a scout told me that once. You always want a rookie when you're evaluating him for the arrow to be pointing up. That says he's going to make some mistakes. Of course, yeah, he's going to make some mistakes. But is he making plays? Is he getting quicker with his footwork? Is he seeing run pass reads better? is he understanding route concepts, where to be, where to help? And that's what you're seeing with Clinton Dix right now. He's improving every football game. If you're a Packers fan, you have to like that. Okay, he's not going to be a Pro Bowler this year. That's fine. But in year two, year three, year four, that's when you expect him to be one of the top safeties in the division.
Matt, I don't know if it's a conflict of interest with your employer. Can we get a prediction from the game for you?
Sure you can. Yeah. I like Green Bay. I do. They're playing at home. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, okay, what are the Bears going to do to stop Aaron Rodgers? Okay, the Bears are what I call a chalkboard defense. What I mean by a chalkboard defense, Brian, is they're going to play cover two. They're going to play cover three. They're going to play cover one. They're going to line just like it says in the playbook. They don't adjust very much, okay? And that creates matchups, you know, positive matchups for Green Bay, okay? Because you don't have Tim Jennings in the slot. You don't have Kyle Fuller in the slot. You can put Jordy Nelson at number two. When I mean number two, count outside in from the sideline. Number two is usually the slot receiver. Okay, then you got a positive matchup, okay? Whether it's versus zone, you get Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb versus the Mike linebacker. Whether it's versus man coverage, you get a matchup versus the third corner on the Bears' defense. Right now, the depth is very thin in the secondary for the Bears. If I was Mel Tucker, okay, I'd play specific matchups. I'd put Tim Jennings on Randall Cobb. I'd put Kyle Fuller on Jordy Nelson. I know Kyle Fuller's a rookie, but the kid's going to be a star. Let him go out there and compete. And let him travel. What I mean by that, Brian, traveling, is you go wherever that guy goes. If he lines up in the fifth row of the stands, go cover him, okay? If he lines up in the parking lot at Lambeau, go outside the door and go cover him. That's what I would do. I would change some things up, have a different game plan, and throw some unique looks at Aaron Rodgers. Because right now, if you line up in cover two against Aaron Rodgers, with the Bears pass rush that has not gotten home all season, you're talking 30 points at a minimum, okay? In terms of picking the game, I like Green Bay. I like Green Bay 34-20. I do think the Bears will be able to move the ball against Dom Capers' defense. But do they have enough possessions and can they protect the football? Because you turn the ball over up at Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers, it's another possession for Rodgers. It's another opportunity to score points.
I'm not even sure. Is Kyle Fuller healthy? Is he going to return for this game? Just my ignorance.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, he is. He's got a broken hand. He's going to play with it. It's not an injury that needs surgery. He had a hip pointer a couple weeks ago. And hip pointer is, that's pain management. Okay. That's a tough injury. I mean, it really is. It's not serious. I've had them, though. They hurt like crazy. But you can use some pain management techniques to get through the football game. He should be up and ready to go. That's why I said I would love to see him match up against Jordy. I would. I think Jordy's a top five wide receiver. I love watching him play. And if I'm a coach, I want my young players to compete against the best guys. Because that's how you get better. And it's similar to when we're talking about Clinton Dix. You want Clinton Dix to compete against Jay Cutler and Matthew Stafford, two guys with big arms that could take shots down the field. That's what you want your young kids to do, is to be in those situations where they got to grow up quickly. So I would love to see Kyle match up against Jordy Nelson all night.
Well, Matt, I've already kept you longer than I said I would. I appreciate you taking the time, talking some football, some great insight here, some great X's and O's. Thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate your insight.
Hi, Brian. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Matt Bowen of BleacherReport.com, the Chicago Tribune, 670 AM, The Score, a former Packers safety. Great to get his insight here. Glad to have him on the show. But now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
The Packers news of the day over the course of the past 24 hours, Derek Sherrod clearing waivers. There's been a lot of news happening since our last episode of Railbird Central Monday morning, because basically Monday afternoon, Monday evening, we come to learn that, first of all, head coach Mike McCarthy signs this long-term contract extension, which we already kind of talked about with Matt Bowen. And then after that, the Packers make a couple roster moves. First of all, and we got into this a little bit as well, Derek Sherrod being released, the former first-round draft pick, kind of, you know, just new big news being a first-round draft pick. Anytime you part ways with one of those guys, and, it kind of, you know, everybody talks about it. Was it a bust? Well, yeah, I guess it was. I mean, so much of it had to do with Derek Sherrod's very gruesome, very severe injury in 2011, a broken leg in which he broke both the tibia and the fibula. This was no minor thing. I mean, that was the end of his career. I mean, credit him. He came back modestly. I mean, I'm not sure a lot of guys even come back from that injury at all, but obviously wasn't the same player. You know, 2 days have passed. Sherrod has now already cleared waivers as of Tuesday night. He is now free to sign with any team in the NFL. Had a team picked him up on waivers, they would have had to have assumed the contract he signed with the Packers, albeit only 1 year left and half a season. There probably wasn't that much of a financial commitment. No team's choosing to do that. I don't know. Maybe there's a team out there that'll be like, okay, we'll take a chance on the minimum NFL salary. But obviously there isn't a team out there that's really, you know, gung-ho about Derek Sherrod coming around and getting back to his first-round status. You know, they've now seen him plenty between preseason, and he got extensive playing time there early in the year when, you know, Brian Bulaga went down briefly with that injury for a game and a half early in the year. And now, you know, he's gotten spot duty since that time. But Packers parting ways with Derek Sherrod. And you know what? When Mike McCarthy spoke on Monday during his Monday press conference, the first one back from the bye, you know, all the attention was on his contract extension. But this was, you know, before, just, you know, an hour or two before the Packers made it official and released Derek Sherrod. And Mike McCarthy kind of hinted at it in his press conference. I kind of want you to listen here. I got a sound bite from McCarthy's press conference on Monday talking about, you know, what the team did, kind of self-scouting and things during the bye week, things we talked about with Matt Bowen here just a little bit ago. But listen to what Mike McCarthy has to say.
You spent a lot of time during the bye week, more than other weeks. You know, Ted was on the road scouting last week, but, you know, you look at your 63-man roster and, you know, areas you're continuing to try to develop. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I think we'll see in the next couple of days. There may be some changes. So we're making progress. I think a number of our young guys that have jumped out of the box and have contributed. I mean, you look at what Corey Linsley and Devontae Adams and, you know, HaHa Clinton Dix, what they've done. And, you know, we have some young guys that are, you know, just not quite ready yet, too. So, you know, it's, I don't really know how to rank it the prior years, but, you know, we're definitely making progress. And the exciting part about it is we have a lot of growth in front of us, too.
So Mike McCarthy hinting that changes were to come, and they most definitely did when they went out and released Derek Sherrod. So I think the question from here is, what do the Packers do with their depth on the offensive line? I mean, the good news is if they're healthy, you know, they've got a starting five from left to right of Bakhtiari, Sitton, Linsley, Lang, and Bulaga, a group of five that you can pretty much rely upon there. Are they the best offensive line in the NFL? I'm not sure about that, but they're a solid group. But the only thing is, you know, relying on five guys to stay healthy the entire rest of the season, that's a lot to ask. And as we know, they're kind of already dealing with injury issues. We'll get more of that later. But, you know, the guy they activated to take Sherrod's place on the 53-man roster was J.C. Tretter. Made it official, activated from the short-term injured reserve, the one Packers player designated per season that can come off injured reserve. So Tretter is back, and here's a guy who, since signing with the Packers 2 years ago, the only snaps he's taken, and they've only come in preseason action, have been at the center position. You know, coming into the season, Tretter was working as the first string center in the preseason. It's interesting to kind of look back in hindsight and wonder, you know, had he never gotten injured, you know, he kind of had that knee fracture, I believe it was the third preseason game. Does Corey Linsley ever take over the job? Because Tretter was doing pretty good, in my opinion, in the preseason. Very few mistakes there. regardless, the injury happens, and Lindsley is just ran with it to the point where, you know, he's not going to be displaced out of the starting lineup anytime soon. Or, you know, if he is, I mean, it's because of his own injury that's doing so. I mean, Corey Lindsley has earned a spot in the Packers starting lineup. But the question is, where's the depth at tackle now? Derek Sherrod was kind of your swing tackle, whereas if anything happened to Bakhtiari or Bulaga, he was the guy that would go left or right. It really didn't matter. So where do the Packers go now? They don't have a true tackle behind these guys. Well, Packers released their depth chart, albeit their unofficial one, on Tuesday, their updated depth chart. And J.C. Treader is, interestingly, listed as the top backup, not only at center, which that didn't come as a surprise, but at left tackle, too. And that's the one that did come as a surprise. He's apparently the backup to David Bakhtiari, although not the backup at right tackle. TJ Lang is listed as the top backup at right tackle, which, I suppose if you look at it, it makes sense. TJ Lang had played tackle early in his career before kind of the past couple years settling in at guard. And I mean, it's been a few years since TJ Lang has played tackle, but at least, you know, he does have experience there, should be able to handle it. I think, you know, he's been around the block enough now where I'm not worried about TJ Lang. But J.C. Treader, he does have experience at left tackle. That's where he did play in college at Cornell, which it caused for concern a little bit. We're not talking about SEC football in college. We're talking about the Ivy League. We're not even talking about Division I. We're talking about 1AA, or as they now break them up, FBS and FCS. But regardless, the point is J.C. Treader did not even play a high level of college football when he did play left tackle. And it's interesting to examine the career path or arc his career has taken him. In high school, he was actually a quarterback. He goes to college at Cornell. His first 2 years, he's a tight end. His last 2 years, he finally transitions to offensive line, which appeared to be the correct choice. I mean, he got a job in the NFL from 2 seasons as a college offensive lineman, playing left tackle, protecting the quarterback's backside. So, I mean, you know, there's reason to believe he could have success there. But, you know, also, J.C. Treader is 6'4 and 307 pounds. That's a little bit on the smallish side for a left tackle in the NFL, where there's, you know, so many prototypes, or at least teams looking for prototypes, guys who are 6'5", 6'6", and most of them probably like 315 pounds. You know, that's not to say you can't get by. David Bakhtiari's not much bigger. He's a few pounds heavier than J.C. Treader, but even David Bakhtiari is not one of those massive left tackles. So I don't know what the Packers do from here. This is just their media depth chart. I mean, it's officially released from the Packers organization, but there's nobody holding a gun to Mike McCarthy's head saying you have to go by this depth chart if a player gets injured. Or else, you know, that's not the case. The team can do whatever they want. And sometimes I wonder if, they write things down on there just for purposes of getting, putting players down. I don't know. You know, is it just because J.C. Treader was a left tackle in college that he's listed there? I mean, if you look at the backup at left guard, it's Garth Gerhart. I'm not sure I believe Garth Gerhart is coming into the game if Josh Sitton is injured. In fact, I mean, so often Garth Gerhart has been on the inactive list and not even eligible to play in a game. So tend to think it might be Lane Taylor or something there. But, you know, this whole depth chart issues kind of, we're not over them yet. If we get into this,
the day ahead,
it future Packers news here. It's a Wednesday, waiting on what's going to happen with TJ Lang as the Packers have their first practice of the week. Yeah, they kind of did some stuff on Monday on the field. I'm not sure if it was a full-fledged practice, maybe more of a walkthrough. But, you know, it's a full-fledged practice today, Wednesday, in Green Bay. And we're waiting still to see. TJ Lang is kind of the biggest injury question mark remaining on this Packers team as of right now. They had a lot of injury question marks kind of heading into the bye. You know, take a look at those guys who didn't even play. Sam Shields and Morgan Burnett. Dayton Jones has missed the past three games. Those guys are apparently all ready to return, you know, at least according to Mike McCarthy in his Monday press conference. Didn't express any concerns there. Said Burnett and Shields did everything on Monday in practice. Obvious concern about Aaron Rodgers just because he's, you know, the MVP of the team, the face of the franchise, and, you know, concern about his hamstring injury. Although, you knew even at the time it was suffered, it wasn't, like, severe by any means. So Aaron Rodgers, he's apparently back. You know, he said he was fine in his, you know, weekly radio show yesterday on ESPNWisconsin.com. The one guy we're still kind of waiting to know more about is TJ Lang, because Mike McCarthy on Monday said he was still in rehab mode. And now, I mean, that was Monday, and now it's Wednesday. It's, you know, going to be practically 48 hours since that time, and we still have another 4 days until the upcoming Packers-Bear game, so there's still time for him to get better and heal and get ready for this game. But, you know, of course, TJ Lang injured his ankle in the Packers' last game before the bye against the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, if you watch the Packers, of course, you know the guy who came in for him was Lane Taylor, and had his struggles, to say the least, including that fourth and one play that got broken up because Taylor allowed penetration into the backfield, and which allowed Eddie Lacy to get tackled short of the first down marker. You know, that was the biggest mistake, but even so, here you have a young, inexperienced Lane Taylor, just certainly not up to the same level as a TJ Lang. So, you know, here's kind of what I think. If TJ Lang couldn't go, and I have no reason to think that this is going to be a long-term injury, you know, that TJ Lang is in danger of going on injured reserve, or at least the Packers haven't given any indication of that. But, you know, should he not be able to play this upcoming Sunday against the Bears, I perhaps wonder if the best, you know, change is actually moving Corey Linsley to guard, which I know some people balk at because they're like, Linsley's a rookie. He doesn't need to be changing positions right now, and he's been doing good at center. But I just think, you know, I think people see the injury to Lang, and they see Treader coming back, and they're like, oh, well, put Treader at Lang's spot if he misses. I just think that Linsley is better suited to guard than Treader is suited to guard. You know, Treader showed in the preseason he can handle the center position, whereas Linsley is kind of that guy who relies on strength, and I think is an interior offensive lineman, particularly a guard. I think that's where you need the most brute strength of any position on the offensive line. At the center and tackle positions, it's a lot about mobility, I think. You know, with you know, tackles, it's so much about pass protection and sliding your feet and the drop and all those things. And center, it's about the snap and being heady and also getting your reach blocks and reaching the second level. Not that guards don't do that. But I just think that brute strength that Linsley has allows him to be the better guard than Treader. And who knows? Maybe I'm off base. I mean, I'm limiting this By so little knowledge, I mean only saw Treader for three preseason games. And of course, in preseason games, they don't even play the full game. And I've never seen Corey Linsley take a snap at guard in his life, nor Treader for that matter. So who knows? The coaching staff probably knows more than me, but I just wonder if that's not the best answer there. But I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself. Who knows? Maybe TJ Lang is back today. Packers release their first injury report of the week on Wednesday, waiting to see. You know, I think we'll learn more about Lang when we hear that. You know, he'll either be listed as out, limited, or full. For all I know, he could be listed any three of those, any one of those things. I just don't know where he's at in his recovery. I know he was in rehab mode on Monday, but that was 2 days ago. Maybe he's ready to step back into things, and we'll see. We'll find out. But anyway, that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to former Packer safety Matt Bowen. How great is it to get a former Packer on the show? That's cool. So the call to action as we finish every show, please go, if you haven't already, and I assume most of you who listen to the show do, follow Matt Bowen on Twitter. It's at MattBowen41, no spaces, no underscores, anything like that. MattBowen41, give him a follow on Twitter. Show your appreciation for him coming on the show as a listener. That's the one thing we ask. Podcasts, all your content at Cheesehead TV are free. Please do this in exchange. And hey, just say, if you want to, say, hey, great job on Railbird Central today. We appreciate when you give our guests a little bit of love like that. So anyway, folks, thank you for joining us today. We'll be back again on Friday. Our monthly engagement with Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog. He joins us the first Friday of every month. We've been doing this for a few months now. Scott's going to join us. We'll preview the Bears game some more. Take a look at it then. I'll have my prediction. And we'll talk to you then. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today on behalf of Jamie Snowden and Alex Talchine, Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called The Place That I Call Home by the infamous String Dusters on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.